Hello, Meltdown. How is everybody doing this evening? I sort of got that feeling. There's a frisson in the air. There's some electric energy going on here at Meltdown Comics here in Hollywood, California. Good news, everybody. Harmontown, once again, is now in session. Won't you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
If it seems like I'm taller, they raised the stage here at Meltdown. It's not just because I got my job back. I'm not like floating. I got my job back. That sounds a lot more pathetic than the heroic triumph of Ulysses coming home and slaying the suitors.
Are we allowed to talk about this week?
I think so, because I mean, kind of. Look, my agents my agents keep telling me, shut the fuck up. And rightfully so, because their job is to close a deal that is not yet officially closed. These things take forever. 90% of the time, probably 99% of the time, when writers are in a writer's room, their deals aren't closed yet. They're kind of in the process. Third season, my deal was so not closed, there was actually a kind of debacle, which is probably one of the 800 reasons I got fired, because the deal wasn't closed, and then Sony put a, quote, clock on my offer. That means you have to, by sundown, you better be in the street, or you're going to be in a box, or whatever. Whatever cowboy they thought they were as a transnational conglomerate. And I went to the Roost in Las Vegas, and all the writers followed me, and I sat there and I had a drink, and I put a clock on them through my lawyers. And I think stuff like that probably is why they're like, when we do get to fire this guy, let's just fire him. He's such a dick. But now I have returned, and you know what's great? I have not changed. I have learned nothing. I have only learned that Joel McHale is the most powerful man in television. Because the truth is, nobody wanted me back except the actors.
Is that right?
Yeah, Joel, you thank Joel McHale. You know, if you want to be happy for somebody, I will do my best to make 13 great episodes. Until I make even a single good one, don't pat me on the back. Because the truth is, these companies, they weren't like, you know who we miss, like Joel. You know, sometimes this happens in TV. The actors, the actual people in the trenches, the people that create the product that you enjoy, the people who are locked in a hot box for 12 hours a day, they're the ones that still end up caring about the show enough to bother to affect a thing. And Joel, I don't know how much he's comfortable owning up to this. I don't know. So just thank him and leave it at that, I guess. I don't know. like maybe we'll have him on or something, and we can tell a story. But he is—he's amazing. I mean, he's a great guy, a great dad. One of those dads that throws his kid up in the air and catches him, like throws his kid up. Back when his kids were small enough to be thrown, that was my first impression of him. He grabbed one of his kids and tossed him like 12 feet in the air. I'm not kidding. And then caught him. And I remember thinking, like, my dad couldn't do that, and I can't. I will not be able to do that. And that's it explains everything about. That's why I'm a writer and he's an actor. Is because he had a dad that must have caught him. If my dad threw me 12 feet, like there was no return. It was just like a trip, you know, like a. All right. Well, let's. I want to bring Spencer up earlier than usual. Let's just bring him up unceremoniously. Careful, yeah. They raised the stage, so if you're tall enough, you could die tonight.
I'm fine down here, thank you.
Hello, Spencer. How are you?
I'm good.
I wanted to make sure you got a good seat, because there was a rumor in the green room that Adam Goldberg has lost his mind and has somehow gave himself the role of seating people. Like, he was seating people, and he was just telling them where they could sit, like, giving away reserve seats and, like, telling people they couldn't save seats. And, like, is he on crack or something? Like, Adam, where are you?
Yeah.
All right. Can you come up and explain yourself?
It's a comical misunderstanding. It'll be less funny when I repeat it.
Adam, you don't want to come up?
This must be serious.
Adam...
All right, Adam Goldberg. A rare reluctant Adam Goldberg.
How's it going, Dan? How's it going, Spencer? How's it going, Jeff?
I'm sure these things get conflated as they reach me back in the mayor's chamber. But reportedly you've just gone off the rails.
When you try and date several people on the same night...
Humble brag.
You have to switch between expensive restaurants back and forth.
Oh, that's a metaphor. Sorry, okay. I was like, that was the world's biggest shoehorn.
I love how easily you bought that premise.
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
I mean, he took over a room, of course. I mean, that's probably the whole thing. Like, there's women coming in, and he's going like, well, let's see what
I can do. Well, you're smashing as much puss as I am on a daily basis.
I don't smash.
There are three rules.
Because it rhymes.
You smush puss.
Yeah. Get down on it.
All right.
When you have a lot of dates in consecutive years...
I'm still not biting.
November. Okay. Oh, fair enough.
Okay.
Let me count back. But, yeah, everyone wants to sit with me. You're all my best friends, all of you guys. Especially the new guys who don't know that that's false. And the thing is, I was like, hey, want to save some seats? Hey, could you save me some seats? Hey, could you save me some seats? And I'm like, yeah, sit over in this general vicinity, which has turned me into the left thumb, right thumb guy from Bergen-Belsen.
You got roped into saving seats for people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can anybody verify that? Is that actually true?
Now, I heard...
Judas, you're all betrayers. You've all betrayed me. In my hour of need.
If one person in your pack of disciples betrays you, they might be a Judas. If you're in a sea of Judases, you might be Judas.
We have an audience full of disciples.
I was going to say Barabbas, but...
I'm not parting with my silver that easily.
You sound like you have a little cold.
It's been, I've been getting out and about in consecutive days because of my back brace, so I can't get all the vigorous physical activity.
Smashing puss
that I might like. Yeah, so. Wipe this mic.
The back brace is part of the Adam Goldberg. This is the new action figure release, Puss Smashing Adam Goldberg.
Workman's comp, Adam, is available with all the things I've seen here.
Special puss smashing grip.
Just so we have to buy another one.
Adam Goldberg on the shelf is like a new haircut, Dan. That's worth the purchase. But like, he's couldn't my old Adam smush push. I got him in the.
The
30 cent bin at Salvation Army.
The smush push is your country line dance.
Can we do the smush push?
I am in a back brace. That's about as much.
Well, Adam Goldberg's coming. He's smashing all the puss. He's coming around the corner. And
thought you'd say wuss.
But his name is Adam Goldberg.
I can't move that very far. When I get my workers' comp checks, action figure gets guitar.
All right. Stay tuned for guitar smash pussin'.
Adam Goldberg, everybody.
Adam Goldberg. Thank you, Adam Goldberg.
Okay.
He dismissed himself.
And he actually walked off the stage to applause.
We are the Caesar Milan to the Adam Goldbergs of the world. We're rehabilitating him.
See, and yet, in a world where you get fired and rehired and you don't change, you're creating change.
I'm changing everybody. I don't know what I did to his back, but I changed. For those of you listening, the words back brace, I don't want you to conjure too fragile or tragic an image. I mean, he's just wearing a, looks like a cummerbund. We've talked about it before. It's like a big cummerbund with suspenders on it.
Yeah.
And, you have to go back into the archives and listen to Adam come up and talk about his family's history of back problems, and there's little flashes of humanity in there, here and there. It's pretty charming. All right, so
can we talk a little bit about this haircut? I know it's not good podcast material, but it's nearly military. You look a little bit like Randy Quaid from The Last Detail.
I got drunk in Chicago with Dino, and I...
That's, I think how that movie starts, too.
Yeah. And I wandered into a stylist salon barbershop. I don't know the difference between the three. It had a pointed nose, and it laid eggs in dry land.
So that's a salon.
A salon, yeah. They were bummed out. You've never seen three gay guys more sad. Like, and gay guys have it bad. Like they live in a world of bad plight. Illinois is now recently going through their own debacle with marriage rights and things. So I learned while I was there. We've been down that road here in California. We don't even give a shit anymore. We're battle weary. But in Illinois now, the battle rages on, and they were not in the mood to cut Charles Manson's hair when he rolled in off the Chicago streets with Dino. I think they maybe were relieved when Dino walked out, like when he was like, "I'll see you later." And they thought he was my partner, and I like, which they should, you know, they should assume that, and he might as well be. And we chatted about, you know, I'm down with gay people.
Did they trim your beard too? Or is that you're doing?
They trimmed my beard.
That is laser precision, man.
Yeah, really. it's a little, they made me look like Bob Greenblatt. They made me. It's trimmed. I've changed. Yeah, I've turned into Darth Vader. I am my own. Yeah, that's the tragedy.
He still works there, right?
Yeah, but give me a break. I mean, that place is. That place changes. I worked for three people while I was there. I got a feeling I'm going to be working for a fourth at some point, right? Look, I don't know how they do their business. I saw the animal practice. I don't know what decisions, how they make their decisions. I saw the billboard with the doctor that had the face in his hands. What was that called? No holds barred, do no harm? What was that? It was a doctor. You saw that billboard? Someone greenlit that billboard. Someone looked at that on an easel and was like, ship it. Like, so I see a doctor. He's got scrubs on because you wouldn't be able to tell he's a doctor. He's holding his hands up in the traditional I'm about to go into surgery doctor pose, except that they have to be mushed together so that we could put an evil face on the back of his hands, indicating the, like a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing. I'll take four episodes.
So speaking of which, you have not watched season four of Community.
No, I have not.
Are you gonna? You have to get down and watch.
Yeah,
that
I gotta get down to business and watch that. Yes, yes. And Sony, to their credit, they expressed interest in the idea of recording me doing the commentary track, like watching. They're so into it that they're starting to make me like. Now I'm not into it anymore. Like that's the thing. Like. You know, you tweet something shitty, and then like Sony's like, "This is awesome! Can't wait for Comic-Con!" And you're like, "Fuck you!" You know, they're invincible because they're a machine. They're not human. Like they don't have a heart. They have a little cog, a little DVD player. I've said before, by the way, the people that work in like special features and stuff like that, like Sony is a gigantic company. I think you know that. They make cookies. They make bottle openers. They must make landmines if any company ever did. There's got to be somehow, some way, there's got to be making landmines.
Well, I think that's GE. That's
I know, but there's got you. Sony must have been jealous. It's like, we got to get in on that racket. We're not blowing enough people up. Like But I don't know if so there's a lot of fantastic people there. I always you know, corporations are inhuman and therefore vile by nature. But within them there are little heroes, and some of them are the people that make the little Sony DVDs, like, because they love making DVDs. They love special features. They love the fans loving special features. And when the three seasons I was working there, I made friends with the people in the DVD department, and we had a lot of fun.
It's hard for you to say nice things about those people, isn't it? that was difficult for you.
Spencer, what do you think?
What about you getting maybe a job back in with the works?
I don't know, yeah.
I mean,
what do you think of my haircut? What do you think of Chicago? What do you think of gay people?
I was discussing it, you know, the haircut, and we landed on like an army guy, which I enjoy. Fuck everybody.
Yeah.
But army guy. Anyway, gay people, great. Yeah. Like, they should have it better in that place. Detroit, Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
They should have it better there. Sure. Chicago's a good place.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't understand anyone that's not in favor of gay rights, because it's such a tee-up. You can be a hero by not giving a fuck. It's one of the only causes. It's so easy. So when are you gonna get that opportunity? Every other cause demands like a picket sign or a do something. Like, you can be such a hero by just standing there and going, I don't care. I don't care. When something comes along like that, do it. You can't help black people by not caring. Try it! I dare you! You will hurt them by not caring. Speaking of me saying weird things and the audience reacting weirdly, we have a lost episode. Harmontown is a lost episode. Yeah. It's our first...
Audio problems, was it?
I think the audio problem was that I kept talking about getting my job back at Community, and I wasn't supposed to yet. I'm probably not supposed to now, but we don't have to release this necessarily tomorrow. Like I said, we're in the final stages of making it official, and I don't know what compromises it. I don't know what... I'm not an agent. I don't know. I don't work in that. I don't know what happens. Like, if a corporation is going like, all right, should you get $55,000 in a parking space, or $56,000 and he's got to park his own car? This is Jeff Jefferson from Parking Relations, and we got a parking spot over here for Jason Alexander. We were just promised him in season two. If I could interrupt there, the key to this operation is going to be synergy, without a doubt. We've said 1,000 times, a parking space, you could make 1,000 parking spaces,
sorry,
it's
sir,
not going to make a television
sir,
show.
Sir, I'm sorry, it's a conference call. Would you identify yourself, please?
This is John, the janitor. But if this mop could talk, it would tell you, you don't make a show with parking spaces.
Thank you, John. I think we understand your point.
Is that the mop talking now?
Yes, this is Marla, the mop. We are overextended this fiscal quarter. I have been squeezed over and over again, to the point where we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic and mopping the area underneath them with people like me, mops like me. Who cares? Edit this out.
We're going to have another lost episode if I do enough bad improv.
That's a dangerous precedent.
It's just going
to
be a test pattern when you download. It's just going to be a recording of an Indian. Hello. You can't see me right now, but I'm an Indian.
The episode you were searching for had audio difficulties.
They make me cry.
There was much talk of black people in Sony last week.
Mr. Harmon's words were like litter across a freeway.
His improv was like an eagle lost in the wind.
Mr. Harmon, or as we call him, Limping Beaver, trying to do make-em-ups.
All right. Okay, we still have some business. This is a town meeting. By the way, thank you for showing up in so many numbers, but also, I don't know, isn't there kind of a dark side to that, too? Like, fuck you. Like I guess you just hated me because I was fired? All right.
Wow.
Maybe you were busy. Maybe you were busy. I mean, don't feel bad for coming. That would be counterproductive of me to make happen. Just think about how I feel sometimes when you randomly show up, like when I get fired and then when I get rehired, and then all the time in between, it's as if my stories about jerking off in my bathtub aren't enough to bring you out from Tarzana. I drop by once in a while. I know how many people show up when a real comedian gets up and does material. It hurts my feelings. It's like you expect me to write things in order for me to have value. Speaking of value, big value is going on at the HarmonTown.com store online. We are having what's called a flash sale. I don't know if that means that it's that you need flash installed to participate, or if that just means it's like a flash mob derivative, like it's like a sale, like super fast. I don't know if that
what
means...
if a bunch of people just showed up somewhere and started like conducting like retail business. Just like a flash sale, like you just bring a bunch of like garments and then people buy them.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Just spontaneous acts of capitalism.
Yeah.
In the streets.
It's a flash sale.
And like people like in the outer periphery, like trading, like someone makes it a public offering, like on the business going on in there. So there's people on the outer rim, like trading stock in the company, and it's like spreading in the streets. It's just an explosion of capitalism.
And there's a Adam Goldberg with little suspenders and bow tie on, right in the middle of it, selling tickets. And
we could call it Wall Street Occupy.
There
like
you
a
go.
Little reverse, like they take back the night. All right, so if you go to HarmonTown.com don't do it now. Watch the show, and then go get a T-shirt. It's cheaper now.
Do we sell them here? Do we bring merchandise here?
I don't think we do, and it gets complicated because the Nerd Melt Theater that lets us do our stuff here. If you sell merchandise here, then you have to you figure out what the VIG is and all this stuff. You know, you have to like calculate like consignments and things. It would be perfectly fair to them, and we're not doing it because we're so greedy, and I don't think anyone's doing anything out of greed. It's just complicated. So we just sell our T-shirts online. If that's not true, and it would be easy to sell them here and just give Nerd Melt some money, then let's do it. I don't care. I'm rich. All right. But I have a feeling we're not doing it because it's hard, and whoever had to sell them would not be getting paid. But if that's true, pay yourself. I don't care. I won't notice. I'm rich. I have people. I pay people to manage my money. Surely they're. I hope they're stealing from me. If they're not, they should be.
But I have the same accountant, so I hope that's not true.
Well, I wouldn't have them steal from you. It's fine, and I'm sure you keep a tight. You know, yeah. I'm sure you get out your little Scrooge specs at the end of the night and your whale oil lamp. I don't know why that's so funny. So go to HarmonTown.com. You can buy a T-shirt. It's extra cheap right now. It's like we made a lot of T-shirts, and I guess we didn't know no one would want them. So our bad judgment is your gain. That's capitalism. That's how it works. Everything must go because nothing should have been. It's called supply and lack of demand, I think, is the principle there. Speaking of capitalism, I think now... I don't...
No, don't waste a segue that good. That almost topped. Speaking of value, head on down to HarmonTown.com. That was really
wasn't
good.
That fucking sweet? That was like
really
Paul
good.
Harvey or
yeah, really nice.
Like in the old days, like Jack Benny or something. okay, so you know what I was gonna say is I wanna get like a dickhead car. I wanna get like a. I've been driving a Prius for like I can't even remember. That was like the first car I ever bought new.
What's your Shame aside, self-consciousness aside, what would be the ultimate dickhead car?
Tesla. I want to get one of these Teslas. Yeah. So you hear that response because it's a Reddit favorite, this car. Yeah. Like people just sit on Reddit and they just watch videos of this car.
But they're really fast. You're like, do you want a fast car?
You don't strike me
as a fast car type of guy.
If it's fast enough so we can get away, maybe we can make a deal. Leave tonight, live and die this way. It's a Tracy Chapman song. Oh. I've never felt so old and alone. I got so excited when he said, "You want a fast car?" I'm like, "Okay, we're sticking to it." And then it didn't matter. I could have taken forever with it. I thought everyone was gonna go, "The fast car, the one." It's like back in the 90s, whenever you said who you're gonna call or anything close to it.
I know that song, but what it sounded like to me is a conversation you would have if somebody was like asking you if you would help them rob a bank.
Well, yeah, I don't know what that song. I mean, I guess she's poor and she's talking to some guy. It's like a romance story. It's a little tragic urban, like slice of life. It's like a hard on her luck girl is taking care of her alcoholic dad, and she's singing to some guy that has a fast car. I don't know why she thinks that the speed of the car matters. I think that she seems like a smart person. Listening to her sing, she's very in touch with her emotions. She's no doubt cognitive, you know. Who cares how fast you leave a city? I mean, it's not like urban plight is like a tornado in a Bruckheimer movie. It's not like chasing you.
There's no escape velocity.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not like at the end of ID4 when you know the fat lady hasn't sung yet. You know, you can't speed out of something. It's not like Return of the Jedi when you're like maneuvering the.
I think it's you know metaphorical. Like, is it fast enough so I can get?
Is it fast enough so I can forget?
So I can
break free. Yeah, I know. She's walking a tightrope. A lot of people listening to that song aren't as bright. You know, they're going to be like, "Whoops, who cares how fast your car is? Just get on the bus. You got a bus ticket. I got a transfer and a duffel bag.
So you want?
We could save a lot of money. Sell your fast car and get 3 bus tickets. We'll take your dog." That's not, you know, it's workshop it a little, lady. Keep brainstorming.
So you want to get a Tesla?
I want to get a Tesla. Okay, so those of you who don't know, it's like this crazy nerd car that's like, it's purely electric, but it's a luxury sedan, and it's all the reasons you're not supposed to get a car, like all the things that aren't supposed to make you want to get a car. All, you know, the 12-year-old in you, like it has these door handles that are flush with the body, and when you reach for the door, the handle comes out.
Nice.
It has a screen in it so big that I don't even know what to tell you. Like you can
watch like Yojimbo on it.
Yeah, you could watch like The Little Mermaid on it and see cleavage. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry that popped out of my head. I'm sorry. You use your own standards for defining resolution of a TV screen. Don't go by me. I just.
How much does one of these run you? Do you know the sticker price?
It's a couple hundred grand. I don't know if it's $100,000 or $200,000. It's like, you know, it's more than you should ever spend on a car because cars don't gain value. Real estate, hey, whatever. Buy gold, buy a puppy. You know, these things appreciate.
Oh, yeah. Puppies after 10 years? Boy, the resale on those puppies.
You know, have you seen Puppy Flippers on Bravo? It's amazing. Like, these guys are sharks, and they just boom, boom, boom.
Pimp my puppy?
they buy a puppy, they pimp it, they flip it.
Puppy pimping flippers.
Right after push smashers. Oh, shit. I find smush mushers. Yeah. Back bracers. Back brace dynasty. On an all-new season of Back Brace Dynasty, Adam Goldberg smashes some puss.
You can't sit here. I don't care where in the bleep you think I can sit. Mother bleep, you go. You tell her I'm going to sit here. Monica has lost her mind on an all-new Puss Rack Bracer Smasher Pussers. After that, duck people. Guys that work with ducks. Aquarium masters. Carpet munchers. You knew that was, you got all excited. You don't know Tracy Chapman lyrics, but
I know which way the wind blows.
You know where your bread's buttered. All right. I walked the line with some cupcakes, and I apologize if you were at the back of the line. It's hard to be the back of the line, but that does mean that you didn't have to wait in line as long as the people in front of the line. Aaron McGathy, who has gone cake crazy, it is clearly more than welcome misdirection and projection of some kind of uterine energy that she's living with me now. We got a puppy. She's making a million cakes a day. I know what this means, and I'm fine with it. But she made like 1,000 cupcakes, and we handed them out in line. And while I was out there, a gentleman named Lars said that he had brought something to share with the audience, and that it wasn't a bag of rocks. Which is a reference to our last episode, actually.
Hello, Lars.
Hi. So last week Bill brought rocks. I thought it was a cool souvenir, but not the coolest thing exactly. So, I thought it was good,
Lars. But before you reveal it, we have to describe that you're holding a very mysterious leather sack now.
Yeah. I wanted to keep it quiet, so I made the sack for it. But no, the rocks were a good idea. It was a nice souvenir, but there were rocks. So I brought a bag of polyhedral dice.
Wait, what are they?
Polyhedral dice.
Polyhedral dice. Oh, it's just you just brought a bunch of dice.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons dice.
Oh, nice.
So there's about a
numbers on them. Huh?
Yes, they're rocks with numbers.
Yeah, Bill, a passive aggressive Bill went from the audience. Oh, they're rocks with numbers on them. Huh?
That was pretty aggressively aggressive.
There's about 100 in there, so.
Oh, there's about, so there's probably just about enough for everybody to grab one. They're different. They're not all 20 sided. There's some tens and some eights and some fours in there.
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Lars.
I have one complete set if you want to give that away to someone or something.
You know what, Lars? So. I'd like to present you with a cup. No, that wouldn't make sense. Okay. Well, let's give them to Adam Goldberg because we made a lot of hay out of his misery. All right, thank you, Lars. Well,
I feel that Adam's back brace is just him slowly walking us toward him coming in here strapped with explosives, so we're not gonna know when it happened. We're just going to stop patting him down visually. Because we've seen him wearing something that you could not get on a plane with, I don't think.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lars. These are great.
Now he's holding a thumb up. Is that the joke you were doing? Awesome. Oh, I thought you were holding a thumb up to further wean us into the idea that
he has a detonator in his hand. It's great. It's great.
That's the set. There's that back brace guy that's always voting his approval on things.
You can't sit there. Everybody sits over here by the wall.
Gather around. I'm gonna. What do you think, Jeff? You've done more shows than me in your life. The bag of rocks I thought turned out to the dispensation of them seemed to take some energy out of the room.
It was noisy and time consuming. But I like the rocks. The rocks was a lovely token.
I'm just saying, like as a crowd control thing, is it okay to hand a leather sack to perhaps, for instance, that lady in the front?
Are you passing out these dice to
yeah?
Everybody?
Well, yeah, he brought them for so that everyone could take a die.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Is it for everybody?
Yeah, there's like 100 of them in here, won't everybody get one.
Probably
won't everybody get one. But I reckon if you take your fail, We'll have us a little good time. I don't know.
It's a nice soft leather pouch. That should mute the
All right.
Yeah. I think Laura's thought of everything in this count.
Let's try it.
All right. The dice are being passed about. So hopefully people in the back, there'll be some
it's
left.
It's nice. It's a little die that you could do anything with that. Put it on your shelf at home and you know. Put it between your R2-D2 pencil sharpener and that photo of your dad with the eyes cut out. Or the Sears underwear model you pretend is your dad because your mom told you he was a lion tamer and he was never around. So you just picked a guy from a magazine and used to worship him, but then when you turned 15, you're like, fuck this guy. Or make a necklace out of it. I don't know.
What are you bringing, Dan, to this fifth season of Community? What emotionally?
I'm going to watch the fourth season first, but I mean, and everyone keeps saying, you know what you got to do, and I know you can finish this along with me. You should have Abed come out of the box that you put him in, which I did. I kind of was thinking that at the end of season three. I was like, I got a feeling this shit's going to hit the fan. Let's put the weird guy in the box and have a bright light flash so that just in case, just in the weirdest case like scenario where if I don't come back, and then in an even weirder case, a much weirder case, I come back for a fifth season, then you could just have him come out of the box and then go lame, and then just get started with a fourth season of Community, but. You already all thought of that. I've seen you online saying that. And it sounds to me, and I can say this now because I haven't seen the fourth season, so I'm just saying from reading the reviews, which was very healthy of me, that if there was a complaint among fans, and this is kind of ironic and something to learn a lesson from, I don't know what, that there was a... The word fan fiction keeps coming up, like a kind of... there was a what Gina Davis and The Fly would call a synthetic kind of going through the motions sort of this is what Community is, so here it is for you, served up on a platter, and you know that I think that in a world where everybody says that and everybody says you should pretend four seasons was a dream, and then if I did that, then we're just continuing the cycle of abuse, aren't we? So the fifth season needs to definitely be a kind of emotional, spiritual reboot, you know, right? It needs to get back to some kind of basics. I'm gonna bring the monkey back, I imagine, and probably three more monkeys. That's the short answer, just more monkeys, as I've pointed out. And I'm going to have a doctor with a face in his hands, the back of his hands.
I want to see that talking mop come on the show.
I could carve myself out a little part, couldn't I? They can't fire me for anything now, so I could just be like, well, here's Uncle Bill. Like.
Could you be like that, like the Phantom of the Opera?
Each episode begins with me like up in an attic going, oh, boy, I've been up here for a while. Old Annie's had a lot of adventures. And just like ruin it. Just crash it into the ocean. Just chum the water. And...
Or do like an Andy Rooney, like just two camera ending every time. Just like you look to camera and say what you learned.
Well, I could be like Rod Serling and come out and
yeah.
At the beginning and end of every episode. Just go like, wow, this looks like it's going to be a good one. Looks like they're doing another bottle episode. Must have broke the bank on the one before it. It all comes out in the wash here at the Harmon Zone.
That was pretty badass in Twilight Zone for the creator of the show just to enter the cockpit of the plane.
Smoking!
Yeah. The guys are flying a plane, there's dinosaurs outside, and Rod Serling just enters through the side of the plane and goes, holy shit. Not only did I just walk in through the side of a moving plane.
Yeah. But I wrote this.
I wrote this. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not here when the commercial's over, you're going to blow my fucking mind. Because there's dinosaurs outside this plane.
Rod Serling was super badass, by the way. Very angry. Very, very, very like outraged about the blacklisting and stuff. Like, he fucking ground heavy-duty Paul Bunyan-sized axes. You know, he was a creative guy that wanted the audience to be happy and knew that like McCarthyism was bullshit and that the government could suck his smoking dick.
And he just came out there and just thinly veiled a million metaphors for it. Considered for your approval, this lady thinks she's awesome because she's rich, but she just got hit by a fucking car in the Twilight Zone. Pea suit. He was mad. You know he went home and gave it to his wife hard. So much harder than me.
Oh yeah.
But Sony says something on a conference call and I'm just like, I'm sorry, Aaron, I can't.
Are you saying that when you get off a conference call that you cannot smash puss?
I cannot. I could maybe move it around a little. like a croquet ball. Just knock it around the yard. I can't smash it, you know? I can't. But you know Rod Serling.
Rod Serling came home.
Just... You know Amanda Serling was a happy woman. And I'm not saying even though it was the 50s, it wasn't, or 60s or whatever the hell it was. There were dinosaurs outside the plane, so yeah. I don't know if it was. I bet she was an activated woman too. I bet she was not wearing a string of pearls in the kitchen and making him roast. I bet she designed jigsaw puzzles or wrote novels even.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're being very generous with made up Amanda Serling.
It was the 50s, so you have to adjust for cultural inflation and say that would be pretty. You see Mad Men, you know how weird it is when a woman does something. It was back then. It's not my fault, but Rod Serling probably didn't put up with it. He probably came home and she was probably wrenching on the car, and he was like, "I wish that car was my dick." And then she was like, "Maybe it is." And he's like, "You're right. Anything's possible." Fucking Rod Serling. That's probably where he got half his ideas. Those weird sexual games that they would play. She'd like tie him to the bed and like go like, "What if I had a pig face when you woke up?" And he'd be like, "Fucking A, I'd come like a bucket." I gotta write this down. You know what, Amanda? Write it down for me. I'll put my name on it because, of course, we can't allow you to work in the industry. But your words will reach America.
Tonight, Arad, when you come home, I want you to imagine that my pussy is dinosaur land and that your dick is a lost 747.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Careening headlong into the past.
Yeah. Submitted for your approval every night.
Yes. Submit it to me.
I think I'm gonna put Sony out of my mind. I'm gonna go home tonight and I'm gonna get dressed up like Rod Serling and I'm gonna give it to Aaron harder than she's ever gotten. I'm gonna take up smoking again and get upset about fear of communism. I mean, we may have to cut the show short. I got a little diamond down here. Just thinking about it.
Really?
No, I just can't think of what to do next. Let's.
I love that you refer to your hard penis as a little diamond.
I'm never going to pretend I'm hung like a moose. That's not. You can tell from my work that I'm dealing with something.
You're hung like a window at Tiffany's.
It's sparkly. I make up for the lack of size with
the clarity. The clarity.
And you could use my dick to like break into a house in a 70s heist movie.
So we get you so turned on, we just hold you up to a window and
turn me in a circle. And then James Caan just reaches through and opens the door. Thank you, Dan. You're welcome, James Caan. Sorry, I couldn't do it. I know your dick's too big, Mr. Caan. You don't have a little diamond. Heroes come in all sizes, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Caan.
But then he gets mad that you used his name in the robbery, and then he has to kill you.
Yeah, stop breaking the fourth wall, Harmon. Sorry, Mr. Caan. Your character's name is Scorpius. In this 70s heist movie.
Wouldn't you be worried, though, that in the third act he finally realizes that instead of breaking in and stealing things, he should just be smuggling your dick? He should heist your diamond dick. And then you wake up and there's just a little note where your dick used to be.
and it says, I got your dick, and it's just a picture of him on a speedboat.
Wait, did he leave the picture of him on a speedboat?
Yeah. So no, it's a picture, it's a Polaroid of him, like, and he's got like a big, giant briefcase full of money,
and the world's longest tripod. Is that like what?
So he had someone he could afford with the money from the dick.
By the time you read this, I will have hired Julio to stand on the shore of Cabo San Lucas with a Polaroid camera, with instructions to mail this to you and place it on where your dick used to be.
And then kill himself because no loose ends.
No loose ends. That's the name of the movie. It's just the poster is just a picture of a diamond and like a high heel shoe.
It should be a guy with a magnifying glass up to his dick, like an inspector using a.
Maybe call the movie Spoilers. I don't know.
Diamond dick. No,
I think that's something you want to discover in the movie. Let's not argue about it. We're having fun tonight. Let's play some Dungeons and Dragons unless there's any more business to attend to.
Let's get to it. Let's bring up Kumail Nanjiani and Aaron McGathy to the stage.
Hello.
I'm sorry it's become the tradition that I talk for an hour and then bring you guys up. I always want to bring you guys up earlier.
Can I make a couple comments on things you've said
tonight? Yes, you can.
Okay, one, the shirt, the Harmontown shirt, is... It's so... For some reason, the way it feels on me, it feels like it's amazing. It feels like I'm in the womb.
It's really soft.
It's so soft. I looked up the label and I ordered just regular plain t-shirts from Amazon. Of that type, I don't know why that's funny already.
Because it sounded for a second like you had engaged in an elaborate attempt to pirate my shirts.
No, clearly I'm like terrible at like figuring out what the demand is because clearly there's a ton of them sitting around. So I ordered it and it was not as good as the one. The printing process of you guys' faces on it. Makes it really comfortable. Also, it's made in Honduras, I saw. My prediction is Honduras is going to fucking take off pretty soon because they're sitting on a gold mine of, like, perfect t-shirts.
What are the Honduras? Are those islands?
Honduras. Nobody knows. There's no way to know.
I wish there was some way to figure it out.
There's no way.
I believe the Honduras is actually a country.
But it's not... So there's not multiple Hondura?
Yeah, there's Honduras and then Honduras all of them. Yeah.
But you guys know when you go there, don't go to the Big Island. Right. You got to go to Hondurito. It's people look at it on a map and they go, let's go to the Big Island. Don't. It's so touristy. And it's a Hawaii joke, I guess.
Yeah.
I lost my crowd with the Tracy Chapman reference and, of course, the upper tax bracket Hawaii humor. You know, the joke when you're going on vacation in Hawaii. Like,
what's wrong
dude,
with the Big Island?
I just ate peanut butter on ramen tonight.
Have to be like a showrunner of a season 5 show to get the joke he just made.
Yeah, it's you gotta. I hope if you have to hit 88 miles per hour in a Tesla, then the humor can actually like soak into
Dan,
your.
Why don't you explain to them what the Hawaiian Islands are, just so we all know exactly.
There's a big one you're not supposed to go to. That's the big conversation. People go, you're going to Hawaii? Which island are you going to? And then they go, don't go to the big one. Called Hawaii, right?
How many islands are there on the chain?
Well, isn't there like a bazillion? But there's like three main ones. There's Kauai and Maui. Why are you doing this?
I just like
you had this smug look in your face, like you were either going to reveal that I don't know a lot about Hawaii or much I do.
I thought you were just going to make up false Hawaii facts.
More bad improv. Oh, okay,
he's doing you a favor. He's making you seem less rich because you know less about Hawaii.
Right. That would make me seem likable if I went there all the time and didn't give a fuck about it. Was like,
do you go there all the time? I've never been.
Have you been actually? What is Honolulu, one of the islands?
Isn't it? No, that's a city.
No.
Honolulu's a city on one of the islands.
Probably Hawaii.
Nope.
We're just guessing at facts about what is it, a state? I don't know.
Oh, it's a state. It's also an archipelago.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is that Jason Alexander, Google him now, he has a shamelessly full head of hair. He has a full head of hair. It's fucking crazy.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, he just drank a lot of coffee one night.
He was really bald for a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
May I address something?
Yes.
You referred to your erect penis as little dino.
Diamonds.
Oh, diamonds.
Oh, God damn it. Please, please, everyone go back in time and don't correct her. I want to know what the rest of her thought was going to be. Sweetie?
We did a 10-minute sketch about diamonds as dicks.
Sweetie, what? Yes.
I was kind of in and out. I can
connect the dots. Dinosaurs died, became fossilized, cold, became diamonds. Go ahead.
But what were you going to say?
I missed her. I could have already said dino. I heard
please,
it.
Please, please,
well, the reason why is because of our dog. I have our dog on the mind, and his toy is his little dino.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry. Weird.
Well, not if that guy was just the first to think of my dick in the dog's mouth.
Well, yeah. Well,
certainly
yeah,
he is
yeah,
not the first person to think that.
I was kind of like, it's kind of when you're sitting in the bed. Dustin's got the good seat back there. When you're further back, it's harder to hear.
To respect me.
Once I'm out of a certain radius, and I'm like, whoa, why did I feel that way? And then I come a little bit closer, and I'm like, oh.
I think some of your hair just got transferred to Jason Alexander.
Yeah. He's stealing it.
I kept on half listening for you to say, like, which is so funny because my dog's toy. I've become the most boring person in the world. Like, I'm just thinking about the dog's toys. And guys, we got a dog. Have you ever pet a dog before?
We took it to its first class at puppy kindergarten today.
We took it to puppy kindergarten today. That was a mix of ahs and ugh.
What's on the curriculum at puppy kindergarten?
Today?
It's all people talking about Hawaii.
Today we literally...
It's the exact same demographic.
Which island? Not the big one. Like, that's where the poor people go. They see it. They see it's a big island, and they go, ooh, let's go to the big island. Go to the littlest one. It's made of cocaine. The first class was
Wait, there are different classes?
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
eight.
And look, by the way,
they're at an animal hospital, and they're really affordable. The Karma Dog Care.
Yeah, and I'm sure the money goes to do what we didn't do, which is rescue dogs, right? Like I'm just saying, like it's not like a it's like out of
or
that.
It's run by James Caan.
We did have to hold hands and make a decision at the outset of all of this that we were going to be one of those couples. So we're fine with it. So you can sit there and judge us in silence. We have a dog. We are a dog couple. We're fucking putting the pedal to the metal. We went to puppy kindergarten today.
Did you say? Oh, that's fine.
He said puddle. He said puddle.
I thought.
We are putting our dick in a dog's mouth. What did you think I said?
I thought instead of pedal, you were going to say poodle, and then he just did the average of both.
Oh, no.
The poodle to the metal?
Pedal to the metal.
At one point, the woman who was running the class thought that Dan said that his name was Jan.
I mean, I'm at puppy kindergarten. My name's probably not, Tony.
What?
I tried to think
Italian
of the most manly
people,
name I could.
Raise dogs on their own.
I just tried to think of a super manly name and then realized that.
Why puppy kindergarten? Is that just
because we don't know what we're doing and we're scared that we're going to do it wrong and we're reading every book
like
and we're watching.
It's like a socialization class. I mean, no matter what we say, it's going to sound really silly. But it's at an animal hospital. It's our dog interacting with other dogs and people telling us how cute our dog is. And
I like that you were making fun of animal practice earlier. Meanwhile, that's kind of your life right now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect more than 100, 150 people to be interested in it. Yeah. For free.
Plus, I read his doctor is not an actual monkey, which I think was the premise of that show. Right?
Was the doctor a monkey? I don't know. I saw in the poster it looks like. It looks like the monkey is the star of the show.
He's got a little stethoscope.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show, a doctor gets cursed by an angry patient and he turns into a monkey.
Is that a Sony show too? The Animal Practice, was that a Sony?
I believe it is. Yeah.
I like to think like that
Jason Alexander directed a bunch of them.
That's where he got most of the initial foundation of his hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like to think that they were like when they were like greenlighting that show that they were like, fucking Harmon, you have a monkey on your show, fucking use it right.
Is it the same monkey or a different monkey?
Oh, this is it's Crystal, monkey. the Hangover monkey.
You're starstruck.
I am starstruck. So there's just like one great monkey in the world.
You better believe it.
Crystal? How old is Crystal?
I don't know.
By the way, this is a weird fact. I found out this is true. You can look it up. Lobsters are immortal. They only die if you kill them or if they get a disease. Yeah. They would otherwise live forever.
And I heard there's a kind of jellyfish that is technically never has to die, but it eventually will bump into enough things that it will die or will get eaten at some point.
Maybe Crystal is like a lobster in disguise or like one of...
Jesus. I was caught up with the... Because the gesture you made that Jason Alexander used to kill a man in college was a lobster kind of gesture. I'm just connecting too many dots.
This is like an episode of Twilight Zone, actually.
Submitted for your boredom.
Aaron, are you worried about this imminent puss-smashing session that's going to go on later on?
Worried, excited, right, girlfriend?
I tell Camille everything about our sex life.
I mean, you have an hour to
every
go
time
back
we
there.
Have, yeah. Should we show... Like, ling, 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 ling.
Hello?
Sorry about my ringing noise. Hey. Hey, Camille.
Are you calling him in the 1890s?
Marjorie, go into the sitting room. Hey, Camille.
Oh, hey.
Well, it was smashed again.
I don't know why me.
I was sitting at home. I was painting, and he came in, and he was telling me.
Oh, you paint? I always try and change the subject.
Yes, oh, Camille. Yes. Yes, but more importantly, I painted my orgasms all over the walls of our bedroom.
Bedroom walls. Now, what color is the?
It's walls. Pink. It's pink. It's
pink.
The walls are of the house.
So you got. You bought a house. How are the? Mortgage, right? What a market.
I'm just gonna reenact the end of it.
Hey, did you see?
That's when we found out my girlfriend doesn't know what an orgasm sounds like. That's actually the most embarrassing thing that happened tonight.
And never shall. And never shall.
Yeah, I mean.
Zoomity doop bop. Yeah! All right, Camille. I'll call you in another month or so.
every time he gets a haircut, all of a sudden he's Bill Pullman.
It's very telling that that's the most virile man you could think of.
It's either him or Tony. I don't know.
Bill Pullman.
Spencer, you're awful quiet over there.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I just haven't thought of a thing to say.
Are you pros smashing puss?
Yeah, do you smash puss?
I've been known to smush a push.
Oh, sorry,
smush
Spencer.
A push.
Spencer,
smush a
push. You and me and Jeff got pretty toasty the other night. That sounds like we had a threesome. Yeah. We got drunk the other night. We drank together.
Spencer and I had been threatening to go out and have a drink with each other.
Jeff, look what time it is.
911. Okay. Don't scare me like that, man. I see 9/11 every day, twice a day. I look at the clock. Ever since junior high school, I see.
What's happening here is Dan hates that Jeff claims that he sees it on the clock all the time.
So now I see it more than anyone, and now every time I do, I sarcastically point it out. But I'm just adding to the.
You're making me see it now. I
know.
See it less.
I know. That's I'm. You win again.
Wait, this is a problem you have that you don't like that I say that I see 9/11 all the time?
Oh boy.
Problem's a strong word. I just don't.
It's adorable.
I don't believe in the theory.
It's bullshit. Like I know people that say they see the clock at certain. I see 11/11 every day. You just think you do because it resonates with
you. Thank you. That must have been hard for you to say.
What the fuck?
Wait,
I like you say that I'm much more fascinating than I actually am.
I thought you believed in magic more than you did than you do, and that something about Al Qaeda's attack on the United States like had a mystical.
You've been
noticing that times since high school.
Yeah, I would always like for some reason if I would get into a car and a clock and it had a digital thing or a watch.
You always see 9/11.
We just like frequently.
Is that why you picked that day?
You can't pin nothing on me, yeah. See?
This is another lost episode.
We just accidentally stumble into.
I'm on Dan's side with this, by the way.
I don't have a big fucking hang up about it. I mentioned that I used to see it a lot, and I frequently.
And
did.
Then on 9/11 happened.
Well,
you were seeing it before 9/11.
Since I was a kid.
And you were just going, oh, that's the number for emergency.
Yeah, I would always see 9/11.
And then 9/11 happened.
I didn't really connect those dots until later, yeah. But you remember I had that crazy panic attack on the morning that all happened. I woke up.
Yeah, it was so rough for you that day. I'm sorry. 9/11 really was your 9/11.
I will treat your ass like a pussy and smash the hell out of it. That's romantic, aw, right? Like, aw.
Yeah, I'll orgasm all over these walls.
What color are your walls?
Well, they will be pink.
I woke up like at 6 a.m., which is around 9 a.m. when the shit hit the planes hit the buildings. I woke up screaming and freaking out in my bed in L.A., and I've never had a panic attack in my life, but I woke up at, like just after 6 a.m., in my little apartment I used to live in then, and I just started screaming at the top of my lungs and bawling, crying. And I didn't know why. I was wide awake, but I felt like the walls were going to fall in on me, and I kept looking at the walls like I was afraid that the walls in my place were going to fall in and crush me. And then I realized that it wasn't me that was in danger. It was a lot of people on the other side of the world that were really, really in danger, and I was screaming for a half hour.
Wait, you had a psychic vision? I'm not trying to be funny. You had a psychic vision of 9/11.
I've had them all my life. I dream about... I'm not.
Why is this not every episode?
Thank you, Camille.
You guys are talking
about... Do you believe in magic?
I mean, yeah. What? Well,
you guys are talking about canine kindergarten. Meanwhile...
Ask yourself this question. Why was he so put off by my insinuation that he believed in magic?
This is the power you have.
Yeah, it's revealed that you have a little bone to pick.
You know what I really like?
Does anyone wish they would fight less?
You know what I like? I like the idea of like a psychic who just doesn't have the confidence because his friends always make it fun of him. To like prevent horrible disasters.
If I lived in a little more supportive environment, then maybe a lot of lives would be saved.
There would not have been any 9/11. You would have been like Mark Wahlberg.
The problem is the times like I have dreams, vivid dreams about things that happened like within hours. Like there's no time to save. Like or like I wake up and go, I dreamt about the big when was it 90 the San Francisco earthquake. I had a giant dream that I was walking around San Francisco and the little the houses that go up the thing, the little full house houses that go up the street, and I was walking down the street with Whoopi Goldberg.
Naturally.
And I'm walking down the road with Whoopi Goldberg. All of a sudden, the ground starts shaking up, and all the houses fall into giant cracks in the ground, and big fires go on. And the next morning, San Francisco earthquake. And I
like that you've just been sitting on these. You're like a now you're a bad guy. You could have prevented.
But I wake up in the morning, I turn the TV on, and like so. Rob Schraub called me after I'd finally come out of my freak out on 9/11. And he's like, hey, Jeff, turn on your TV. The White House got blown up and he got it all wrong.
That was Rob's description of, for those who have listened, we've relayed the events of 9/11 from our own perspective. And one of them is that Rob called me at, like whenever it was happening. And this is how Rob Schraub describes 9/11 happening on the phone. I have to back off the mic because this is how loud and shrill Rob was. He said, "Jesus fucking Christ, turn on the TV. The fucking world's blowing up. The White House blew up. The Pentagon blew up. The World Trade Center blew up. Fucking missiles flying out of the sky."
And then Jeff is like, "I knew it."
Jeff's like, "That explains that." That explains why I didn't have another dream about San Francisco.
Well, I had one dream one day. I woke up one morning and got out of bed, and I remembered this dream that I had just had. And I was like, it was really vivid. And I was like, okay, that fucking happened, because that felt like one of those ones. It felt like this one happened. And
so there's a feeling to the ones that are real.
Yeah. There's
otherwise, it would be like, oh, there's going to be a big peanut butter dog. Every morning.
There's going to be a...
Yeah. I'm going to be naked outside.
Yeah. I'm going to take the LSATs again.
Every single day. You guys, my mom married an elevator, but she wasn't really my mom, but I knew she was.
That's your curse, is that every dream feels prophetic.
If that were true, then I would have felt like today I was going to wake up and I would have gone deep sea diving with Stuart Copeland from Police.
Who also did the theme to The Equalizer.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway,
this felt real.
I had a dream and I woke up. I was washing my hands in the morning. I look in the mirror and I have this thing like, oh fuck, that thing happened. I guarantee it. And so
it's like the dead zone.
And so I go out to meet my brother for lunch, and he lives. I drove out to Venice where he lives by the beach. And I pick him up, and he's like,
"Is this one of those your brother's been dead for 20 years stories?" Because
no.
I want to be emotionally ready for this to happen.
He had to find out from a train conductor for some reason. So your brother's been dead for 20 years.
Ticket.
So he goes. Are you watching this thing that's happening right now about this this Chechenian hostage thing happening in this theater in Russia right now? I'm like,
wow. So you get like real specific.
Well, I had a dream that there was that thing where a bunch of people were held hostage in a theater, and the police came in, and there was a standoff. And they gassed the place, and they killed all the people too. They killed the terrorists and the hostages all as one, because they put too much gas in there, something like that. And there was one American that died in that thing.
Is that how you can connect? That's your site. If there's one American, no. Then you have a link to it.
I had a dream, and I woke up that morning. I had a dream that I was in a theater, and it was like in the lobby of a theater, and we're all waiting to go into the seated part of the theater. We're in the lobby, and there's a bunch of people, and everybody's speaking a different European language. It's all European. And I'm lost, and I don't know where I am. All of a sudden, they're screaming from the outside and gunfire, and everybody starts running into the theater. Like into the seated part and hiding, and I duck under a table. And
why is this not every episode?
I duck under a table and hold onto a guy's leg, and he looks like the image of this guy in my dream. He looked like a big Cossack, like with the big flowing pants and the big curvy sword and the big.
He called a scimitar. Go ahead.
Yeah, and but he also had an AK-47, like a Russian.
Hedge your bets.
And
you don't know what the vibe of the fight.
Diversify.
You don't know what the vibe of the fight's going to be.
He looked like a Cossack, basically, and on the outside.
You don't want to bring a scimitar to an AK-47 fight.
Exactly. That's not the Chicago way.
No.
But there was guys all dressed in black, like paramilitary people, running around the outside, and I could see him running right by windows, and I didn't know if this guy was on my side or not, but I tug on his pants. I'm hiding under a table, and he's standing there with his gun out, and I see these paramilitary guys run by a window, and I see they're coming toward a door in the lobby area, and I tug his leg, and I point at that door, and they come in, and they're all in black like paramilitary, and he shoots them all, and then I wake up, and I remember early in the dream that I was the only American in this room and all this stuff, but
oh, you were the guy that died. I'm having a very difficult time with this, Jeff.
I mean, shouldn't he sleep more often?
Don't
you owe it to the people of
the world?
You should be just taking Xanax, like a precog. Like, you should be sleeping in a hot tub.
You know what? If you don't, yeah, you should be in a hot tub all the time. Go to Dan's house.
I've been saying this for years.
It's not a hard note to take. I mean, every time you're awake, like right now, you're like kind of killing people because somewhere.
Yeah, you really are. What I like is that God picked you. And he's like, oh, I fucked up picking this guy.
he's so hungover.
Running onto the stage in improvaganza.
Yeah, you're like doing improv.
Hey! I had a dream that 14 women were raped in a cellar. Hey, everybody! Welcome. Can I get a suggestion of a fart noise? Yeah.
Look, you're just using it for your improvs. Go Jaws like, man, all right. I fucked up.
Jeff, your improv is really rape-centric today.
Yeah. Well,
you brought up rape, not me.
It would be awesome if there was somebody in the audience like, every time I see Jeff doing improv, the next day, it's in the news.
I mean, Evan, it's never particular. It's always very grim scene work.
Like, no, it's not like Hangover 2 did better than expected.
You know, there's a lot of comics that like you know, you're laughing on the way home because they're geniuses. It's like, yeah. His improv shows are like, you kind of sit there in an uncomfortable, puzzled silence, but the next morning you're like, oh! Fuck.
Why is this not like, I've known you for like a year.
But I've had a bunch, like there'll be times when I'll wake up and I'll have a dream and I'll go, I'll just get online and I'll look and I'll just type in backyard helicopter crash and it'll be just like my dream.
Jesus,
Jeff. There'll be a picture that's exactly the amount of people that got hurt or the thing that happened or if nobody got hurt. I'll Google some of the shit that happens in my dreams and there's an image of it. By the way, 4 people dead tonight. I'll do the audience tonight. 4 people.
Whoa!
That's the Davis guarantee.
Only the Americans.
Yeah, only the Americans count. That is amazing. How long has this been a...
It doesn't happen as much as it used to, but it used to happen a lot.
If you ever have a dream where I'm in it and something shitty happens to me, give me a fucking call, dude. Don't Chechnya me.
But he doesn't have time. He wakes up and it happened. It didn't. That's why I'm saying he should be asleep all the time, and people should wake him up every 2 hours. And he'll always be pissed, but it's the least he can do for.
It's literally the least world. You could do.
And then just wake him up, and he's always cranky. You know, he's always just checking, like, anything. It's like, marshmallows, crocodiles. Google it.
Go to the Everglades, boys.
Go to every campsite in the Everglades.
I'm like Sleepy Lassie.
Sleepy Lassie. That's cute.
That is amazing, Jeff. Yeah. So what do you think is going on?
I don't know. I feel like it's like I used to have constantly deja vus like every day.
The only thing, this is where I am right now, because I'm like very like science and all of that. That sort of meta guy.
Is that how you word that scientifically?
I'm like just a science guy, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Title.
I have two options right now because I really, you know, we're like, we're friends and you're like a very normal, grounded guy. I have to either believe that you're a little bit crazy or that everything I know is lies. Those are my two options right now.
I feel like I used to have deja vus all the time. I'd walk into a room and I would literally like go into like a restaurant and I would be like so... It was a deja vu was happening, I'd be a little ahead of it and I'd go, that glass is going to fall off that table. And it would fall off the table, and I go, and there's going to be a fight in like 10 seconds. And then over and over.
You're like in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but they say that's like a thing where it's like some people say déjà vu is an iron deficiency where brain synapses. Brain synapses are firing twice, but it fired once, and you store something as a memory that you don't remember where it's from, so it feels like a distant memory.
I see.
But it's all kind of happening at once. But so you're kind of double firing at once.
So your brain is kind of lying.
But I used to walk into places and go like, we have to get out of here right now. Like why? Because bad shit's about to happen, and bad shit would happen in there. Like we have to, I don't like what's about to happen.
It's like Final Destination.
I haven't seen that.
Don't you know what it's about already?
It's not how. Oh my god! I just got that.
That's amazing. What do you think of it, Dan?
Your joke?
It was
fucking great. I laughed. It took me a while. I'm 40.
The joke is great, but.
I am on your side. Look, here. Can we retrace our steps here? I did a callback to a kind of running joke where Jeff has talked about on this podcast with the 9/11 thing. Every time he looks at the clock, it says 9/11. Not every time he looks at the clock. He sees 9/11 an inordinate amount of times. As a guy who, like yourself, I believe the phrase you used was, I'm very like science and all that. I also am very like science and all that. Although I am the foremost proponent of having a relationship with the unknown and the idea that life is mysterious and that there's a consciousness to the universe and blibbity blah. but that's philosophy and kind of like when it comes to like Abe Lincoln might be in your dining room and you know like the numerology and the ability
this
of people
sound
to
sound very sciencey.
I'm saying when it comes to that stuff,
all that.
When it comes to that stuff, I'm skeptical by default because it's dangerous to bother to believe something by default. We've talked about that here. Anyways, so as a skeptic, Jeff, because there's a clock next to Jeff's head. So every time I do the show, I see Jeff's face, and I see a big red numbers. And it says, every time it says 9/11, which is once during the show lately, because we had that conversation, I keep going, Jeff, look what time it is, which is both a callback, and it's also kind of like, I don't know if I'm like proving it's wrong or whatever. We talked about that. Didn't he, is it my imagination, or did he get a little, you got a little, like you thought I was like attacking you?
No. What I thought I was... It was being revealed that was a burr in your boot that I'd said.
Well,
that
burr. I mean, yeah, burr in my like literally that extreme, like a burr in my boot, like nothing. Like I own it. I don't care. It's not your fault. I don't care. I'm not. It doesn't make me. I don't go like, oh, Jeff's hurting my foot. It's a burr in my boot. And it's not. It really. That's burr is too strong. Is there a micro burr? Is there like a?
I've heard of micro burries. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. I just want to my sense of justice, because I felt like Jeff got mad at me for just a second. Like I can read his body language in his face, because I was like, well, Jeff, you believe that you see 9/11 on the clock all the time, and wasn't he just for a second? He was kind of like, what? No, I'm not that into that. What? I'm sorry. And then proceeded to reveal that he is the plot of a CW show. That every night he goes to sleep and werewolves come to him.
Dan,
and
the reason I get angry is because I didn't choose this power.
Let's play D&D, shall we?
Spencer, if you would.
Last time on Harmontown D. N.D. Our heroes were in the midst of a decisive duel with deadly doppelgangers, except not real doppelgangers. They were the gang's own shadows. There's a difference. After 30 solid episodes, 30? About that long, of combat, the gang had been pushed to the brink of destruction. Wounded and bleeding, Christaberg was dying. Sharpie saved the singer, swiftly swinging the soul of growth to soothe the savagely sundered sneak.
Nice.
Down but not out, the foes regrouped, attacks were made, weapons were used, some things happened, and then the shadows were dead. As they stood above the broken corpse of their slain shadows, the dark sun pulsed, and they were back in their home in the canny forest. The end.
That's the last episode. That's, we just finished the fight with the shadow people.
Yeah, and now we're back on the regular.
We're back in our own. Yeah,
not much happened.
Not back in our own world. That's the thing. Like I can't remember before we got sucked to the shadow plane. Where were we before we went to the shadow plane?
We were in a fish.
Let's take a trip.
We were in a fish, but the fish blew up.
Yeah, right.
And we crashed.
Starting plane, the material plane.
Nice.
That's the home world. Eaten by the Infinifish, who took you through time and space, and you killed him while you were in the plane of twilight.
Doesn't everything kind of take you through time and space, though?
In a way, like, yeah, existing would take you through time. The Earth takes us through space. Yeah. Fair play.
I mean, not really the time to nitpick.
I'm sorry.
Guy's here to give us clarity.
No, I know.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah.
No, I want... We're
just one page.
You two are fighting.
Us.
We're just all defining reality.
All right, so in the you're just saying he took us through the plane of twilight?
Yeah, the plane of twilight, which was twilight. Sometimes twilight, but not always. Okay. That was the foresty place. You met Christaberg there. He took you to the Soul of Growth.
Man, we've been through
so much.
You
guys used that yet.
Well, no, I used it like crazy in the last episode. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Beef Fungus Bill came up and played for you. And there was a...
I'm saying thanks to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
thanks,
I thought you were saying thanks to me for letting him play you.
No. Like, thanks, Beef. Go
ahead. he reminded me, like, do you have the Soul of Growth? It pretty much kept us at death's door. Like,
right.
I when I use it, it's kind of like a heal all, like it gives us all a little glass of lemonade.
Great. Anyway, Plane of Twyla took you to the Plane of Shadow. Now you're back to the plane of material plane.
Oh, we're just back to where my dad was.
Back where we were.
In the burned ruins of the Kani Forest.
Weren't we going somewhere? We were trying to...
Yeah, what are we doing?
There's a good chance what we were doing was asking what we were doing. Yeah. Because we've done that a lot, too.
But yeah. I mean... But really, what are... I feel like overall, what are we trying to achieve?
Adventure. No.
Oh, ha-ha!
No.
Ah, all right. Well, I'm going to put some meat all over my body and just run around
in
a circle.
I mean, that question
we'll
is a question
happens.
You can ask in your own day-to-day life. I mean, it's the answer is no more clear than it is. I mean, what did we do today? Why did we go to puppy kindergarten? I mean, is that our mission when we're done with that? Do we just blow our brains out? It's a
one of you does.
It's part of a
I don't think it would be me.
My nose starts bleeding like Firestarter.
It is taking so much effort on my part to not just talk to Jeff about it.
Well, we could
I do wonder between the two
Tell
of
me
us,
about
if
it.
One of us was to commit suicide, who would it be? I mean, that's a very dark topic, but...
Definitely me. What are you talking about?
Cool,
I know
cool.
It's not
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I mean, well, I hope that answer gives you the happiness you need to carry on. But,
no, but
give
no,
it to
but,
him.
It doesn't help me any.
That's bothersome. All right, so we're back in the game.
I am sorry. Can I ask something, and we'll go back to D&D real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
Ben? So you guys, you knew about this.
Well, I'm always so drunk when I'm with him that the line between my friend being crazy and my friend being psychic is like pointless. Like it's all like jukeboxes are become important. You know, like I start crying about my dad because I hear you know a country western song. Like, these are things that when you wake up in the morning, you're like, what was that?
Okay, reality's you know, a like, little fluid.
Did Jeff say he was psychic last night? Yeah, but
I don't believe in psychic. I don't think psychic is the thing.
What?
What is it? Is it the P word to you? You guys don't want to call that?
I prefer to call myself temporally advanced.
I don't believe in ghosts necessarily either. I think there's something to people having certain encounters and stuff like that. I don't think a spooky ghost running around.
Stan Lee here. Please
sure,
see podcast
different.
Episode 38 where Jeff talks about ghosts for... Like, you had a ghost. You have a ghost story.
I have a couple of doozies of ghost
that
stories.
That apartment was haunted.
Rob Schraub's current apartment is or was haunted when I lived there.
I believe in psychic ability. I think that we don't know what we're capable of, and I believe you.
I feel like and
I'm not saying I don't believe you. I just want to know more.
I feel like there are a lot of people. I've talked to other people that on 9/11 that morning. Because I mean honestly, like
was there a meeting of the temporarily advanced?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Like yes. Oh, we fucked up again.
It's just everyone stands up and deals with their guilt of like, yeah, I shouldn't have slept in.
Yeah, jeez. I was eating toast.
I was doing an improv show in Montreal. And I just, like, so
they're all
over.
Improv comedians.
I like the idea that there's a class system where there are the people who just know it's going to happen like 2 hours before.
I felt like
there
was,
people days.
I
before.
Felt like it was a time in my life when I actually had like visions and voices and stuff like. Nothing that meaningful, but
I don't want to be mean, but this is like such a shitty use of your powers being here right now.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So like, there was like a diversion path where like one prevents 9/11, and one you're comp-trolling.
I just felt that there was a time in my life when I was especially like when I was really broke and being evicted and I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I felt very like in the moment at all
okay,
times.
Okay.
There was no past. There was no future. It was like every from moment to moment. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I really felt there was a couple years in my life where I felt like I could point where the lightning was about to strike, like if there was a storm out there. And I felt, it was like yeah. You know like when Ken Kesey on Asley talked about that. It was a yeah. Feel like you're so in the moment that past and future kind of are all touching. It's all one thing. So like you're just kind of so in the moment that everything, it's all kind of happening together.
Or like someone coming to a show and being like, I think I'm going to play Dungeons and Dragons with Dan Harmon. And then that night we go, we're going to, who is there anyone who's Dungeon Master here? There's a little bit of magic to.
Sure, but that's a big leap from knowing 9/11 is going
to
happen.
Jeff, have you ever.
Only to the 9/11 people.
You said that.
For those 3,000 people.
Yeah.
You said that these premonitions were stronger when you were younger. Did you ever wonder if you cause them? Did you ever get nervous about that?
My mom, who passed away when I was 13, she had a recording. She went to a psychic when she was pregnant with my brother, and she wasn't like into mysticism and stuff. But she went to had a psychic reading that was recorded, and everything that she said about my brother, pretty accurate. And she said about me that I would be psychic, and then I've been with friends.
Way to bury the lead, bro.
Jeff is gonna start flying around the room and be like, "No, I'm not. I'm not psychic.
I mean, she
has some ideas.
My mom's crazy. She predicted I would be psychic, and now I am. But she
wasn't into mysticism.
I went.
Everyone does. She had a recording of. I was at a
coffee place with my friend Michael Pollack, a piano player. And
I am your disciple.
We're getting coffee, and he was going through a bad business thing with some stuff. And there was, and he's totally skeptical, like absolutely a cynic on all kinds of things, I guess. And there was a woman doing tarot readings. Like, I'm gonna go get a tarot reading over there. So we sat down, and he didn't act like come on, show me what's up. And so she sat down, and she does the tarot stuff. I don't know how it all works. And she said,
"It seems like you might."
Well, so we're sitting there, and she, the first two things she says, she goes, "This is about business. There's a woman that you work with. It's a guy that you work with that's fucking you out of something right now. That's why you sat down right now." He's like, "That's exactly why I sat down. So okay, now I'm on board." And she got another thing before he even said anything. She said two things about it right on it. And the third thing she says was, as I was sitting next to him, she goes, "I'm sorry, can your friend leave? He's freaking me out right now." I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "You're really psychic, and it's fucking throwing me off."
Are these stories so old for you that...
You know, like...
Have you talked about this with him before?
I feel like I have. Jeff can't pass the butter without being special. Like there is...
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
His stories are like he...
It's so funny you literally go, "There's Jeff again."
I'm not saying that in a punitive way. I'm saying, like, I'm his best friend. I've been hanging out with him forever. If you're asking me if I'm bored hearing about how remarkable he is, I a little bit. I mean, I'm familiar with it. I know that he is. I know that he
so
has
your
a
mom
lot of
predicted you were going to be psychic.
She had. There's this old. Like old tape,
there's a tape of this.
Yeah, and the woman that gives her the reading tells her that I'm going to be psychic.
There's an actual tape of this.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, we have a podcast, so I guess we should.
I wish there was some way we could share
Jeff,
it.
If
my sister would have it, if anybody has it, I'll try to find it.
Your sister that disappeared in Roswell. By the way, Jeff's 80.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, so we're on the material.
No, I mean, you've heard of it. Look, you've been around here long enough to hear that he can't go out for drinks without meeting Vince fucking Neil. It's just, everywhere he goes. He goes to Las Vegas, and Neil Diamond goes like, "Hey, wait, sorry, I got to stop singing. Who's in the audience? Hey, you get over here." And he just goes and hangs out with Neil Diamond. It's not lies. He's not lying.
No, he's like
it's
a real...
It's just like
life.
After a while, it's like, ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like a real life Forrest Gump.
I'm not...
There should be footage of him, like...
I don't want it to stop, but I'm not like, what the fuck, what? Yeah.
I bet 6 years ago there was one point where he was like, it's all about community, and then he walked away.
Well, he did, I mean, he is like, when I first moved to L.A., the reason Jeff and I are such good friends is because we were both fucking broke-ass vagabonds, and all we would do is go out for drinks and tell each other how talented we were. I'd be like, "You're such a good actor," and be like, "I know you're such a good writer," and we were like.
Jeff was like, "I see good things for you."
We believed it enough. I look back on how bad a writer I was when Jeff was telling me I was a good writer, and I realized that I owe my entire life to being convinced by him.
Yeah.
Like I. It's kind of, I don't know if it's, there's something sad about it, isn't it?
That was an amazing time.
It's either Dumbo's feather or it's like
Dan used to pay my bills, and then when he had money, then he was broke, and I paid his bills for a while, and we kind of went back and forth, and we really like were keeping each other alive.
There we go, dude, can I don't know how to say this because I'm proud. Can I borrow $2,000? I'm going to get evicted. Yeah, no, here you go. I'm so sorry. And then both, you know, back and forth. You know, like, and every time what one person would say to the other is, look, it's not that big a favor. Like, I have money right now, you don't, but I know you're going to because I know that you're a special, wonderful person.
I mean, that's beautiful, but now are you bummed out because you know that he knew? He could have planned.
That I actually did. Oh my god, I just got that. He was cheating.
Yeah.
I was an actual good person.
Yeah.
And he just knew?
Dan, I had to wait until you're ready to learn that to find that out for yourself.
I mean, I guess what's the difference, though, between faith and prognostication? I mean, what is that? If you say to your friend, I know that you're going to be president of the United States, like, are you a dick if you're psychic and you actually know more than you are?
Or then you maybe caused them to become the president because you already knew it was going to happen.
That's the thing.
And then you told them...
I'm telling you, like, I was really hacky when I was 26. I was not. I was like, you know, Monster House had to be rewritten by the lady that did Willy Wonka, whatever adventures. I sat there for 2 years trying to write a movie about a house that eats children on trick or treat and couldn't get through it without having a fucking nervous breakdown. I was like, my head so far up my ass, I never would have gotten through anything. But I would go out for drinks with this guy that would go like. You know, you're right.
I bet
amazing.
We'll
you're
find
great.
A picture at some point of the Civil War, and Jeff is there, like talking to Lincoln. Like,
yeah.
Hey, here's an idea. I don't want to be crazy, but what if?
It's a picture of me in bed the day he gets shot, and I was late for the theater. I had a ticket.
You're trying to catch a bus.
Two you're tickets hungover. To my American cousin on the nightstand, and you're just like fucking some flapper. I was going to say flapper. My knowledge of history and women only goes
He just means
so
a woman who talks a lot.
No. I was so prescient that I predicted the fads of 60 years in the future of what women would be doing and dressing like.
Yeah. All your hair is going to be short. You're going to be doing the Charleston.
Did you know he was going to have a haircut when he showed up today?
Yes, because I saw him yesterday.
Okay.
See, he's not psychic anymore because he has Instagram. He doesn't care.
Okay.
Well, but Jeff, you have kind of a weird relationship with this ability. Like, you sometimes embrace it and sometimes... Like,
well, you know, like there was a time I was... talking to our friend Sam Christensen about it, because this is when it was all happening, and it happened quite a lot, and it actually kind of wore me out a little bit, and there was times when I felt like, I actually felt guilty when a tsunami happened, and I didn't dream about it.
Yeah.
I felt guilty about like.
But even if you had dreamed about it, you would have done fucking nothing about it.
because it would have been happening. You know what? I actually went to this place.
I should have dreamt about that. I'm a bad person.
I could have made my Wave Blocker 3000.
In a way, that's the most narcissistic thing I've ever heard.
I felt like I'm losing touch. I've lost that thing. But Sam Christensen is kind of wise sage friend of ours. Is great. He's like you're in a place right now where like a lot is happening for you, and you're kind of in a strange moment. He goes, you don't want to be in this place forever. It's just going to take a lot out of you.
Yeah.
And like, but like, when I was really really broke, like I really had like. I would hear voices and stuff.
I think
like,
it's weird to me. I imagine you being broke and being like, I wish I could somehow make money. That glass is going to fall. The helicopter's going to crash. I wish there was some way. I guess I'll go on audition. When is pilot season?
I'm going to my friend and tell him he's going to be okay.
Time to reach my brain across time and see which blood donation clinic is paying the most tomorrow.
When is pilot season? That pilot is going to fly into a building.
Yeah, but it stopped happening. Once in a while, I'll still have dreams where, like, in the dream, I'll wonder, like, you can kind of navigate your dreams. You can kind of pick, like, I want to try to steer left into that part of the dream or go back.
I don't have that. I just have, my dreams are on rails.
There were times when things would be happening. Oh, actually, I would say out loud, the helicopter one where I woke up in the morning, I said out loud to myself before I went to bed as an experiment. I said, have one of your dreams tonight. Have one. Have a dream about something that happens tomorrow.
I assume you were single at the time.
I was.
Have one of your dreams tonight.
What was that, baby? What? What?
I have to go.
Oh, yeah, I was very single.
And Jeff, do you have premonitions about anybody?
No, never
here?
People, never people. But like, I mean, my dream life is really like, I wouldn't trade my dream life for anything. But like, I woke up in the morning and I really went to the computer, and it was the first time I had money to have a computer, and I went to the computer and I typed in Mexican backyard helicopter crash, and there was a helicopter crash that killed three in a backyard that just like fell into some residential neighborhood. It was exactly what I dreamt. And I was like, that doesn't help anybody. That's the stupidest power in the world. It's like, it's so
it seems like if you'd worked on it, not, I mean, listen, it's probably too late now.
I'm lazy. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It doesn't happen as much anymore. But there was a time when it was pretty wild. But like my favorite memories like of us, Dan, is like when you were like writing Monster House, and you just be we're in the drawing room and you just be sobbing, crying because you couldn't finish the script about the house that is a monster, and it was just like, and you were so broke one time. I was like, Dan, like you were really broke, which is amazing. You'd make like $300,000 and then like 6 months later, penniless. Like you had, like, but you had a Pac-Man and a centipede in your house or your apartment.
Yeah, it wasn't 6 months. It was a couple of years. No.
What happened to that Pac-Man and that centipede?
They're at my studio.
What? What studio?
I make cartoons. Okay.
I was imagining a pied de terre. Oh. What I was thinking. They're at my.
they're in Puerto Vallarta at the at the summer home.
Do you remember when I told you, like, I said like you wouldn't finish Daedalus, the script you were writing, and I said write me the first like 40 pages of it and I'll pay your rent.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah.
I'll take you up on that. Because that's where you were,
yeah.
And you wouldn't finish it, you wouldn't get it out, you wouldn't like click print or you know, like on anything like feature stuff. And I was like, you're so broke. I was like, I'll pay your rent for the next 2 months if you give me the script, and I won't show it to anybody. And you're like, I actually will take you up on that, and you still didn't do it. You still didn't write.
No, I gave you pages.
I didn't read it. No, okay.
He knew there was shit.
I know. I gave you a manila envelope with the pages. It was the best.
It was the best time. I still think you need to make that movie.
Well, I'm going to. You don't. You
know. Is he?
The. By the way, the movie that you're thinking of writing, that you've been thinking of writing since you were 25, put it off till you're 40. You will get so much more work done. Like, don't try. Like the thing that you were thinking of when you were 15, and you're listening to the Pink Floyd or whatever the modern equivalent is, and they're like, oh, I see the whole thing. I'm going to move out to L.A. and I'm going to be a screenwriter because I got this idea. It's a fine idea, but fuck you. You can't write it. By the way, this
don't try philosophy exactly explains why Jeff never did anything. Because he's friends with you, and you were like, don't try. And he's like, you're right.
I'm saying to the young writers in the audience, I'm saying the ideas that you have, the screenplays that you think that you're destined to write, maybe you are destined to write them, but much like the relationships you're destined to have, you might not be the writer that is supposed to be writing that script at that time.
So where do you think is the best place to get our ideas?
I think that ideas come from whatever gives Jeff his psychic powers. I think that ideas. So this is where I become a non-skeptic about just about mythology and things. I think that we are vessels. I think that we are prisms. You know, like to use that metaphor, light doesn't look like anything. It's in the air all around us. Campbell said that religion, for instance, is a frame that you draw around nothing. You draw the frame so that people can actually appreciate what nothing actually means for a second. But too many religions, too many sects of religions, and too many zealots of sects of religions, they add so much stained glass, they add so much opacity to the window that it becomes a newspaper. It becomes something that blocks light and casts shadows. Those shadows take the form of explosions and wars and all kinds of things because it's too many people taking too much shit way too seriously that was meant to be transparent, open source. The air around us is filled with the thing that we are constantly struggling with. We, as a great species, were designed, we were born with these antennae that we were able to actually suck the nothingness through us and split it into all kinds of weird shit based on where our parents touched us when. and spray it onto a piece of paper or onto celluloid or a digital projector or for you kids out there, some kind of podcast. The light comes through you. It gets scattered unintentionally by who you are. Your job is to share that map of the cosmos with everyone around you. That for that reason, if you're thinking in your head, oh man, I got this great idea. It's like Batman, but he's not Batman. It's set in the future, but he goes back to the 1920s and he's fighting Chicago mobsters and he just drives a Prius and he's got a thing. You know, fuck, you can't steal this. But the idea you had, that you were working on prom night, that you used as the reason why you weren't going. You will write it one day, or pieces of it will slowly get chunked into everything that you write. But the important thing to realize is that you don't create ideas. There is something else out there that creates ideas. Your job is to suck them in and shit them out. You know, like you're supposed to kind of be a dick about it, like be lazy and like follow your bliss and go. Is someone giving me the light? Oh, the door's open. Okay, I was like, holy shit,
got
the light at Harmontown.
No,
that's when. Like, okay, now I'm embarrassed. I'm just saying, like, because if you're like me, and many of you are, like, you walked around your living room and you played certain music and you imagined yourself accepting an Oscar for some movie that had so many fucking characters in it that it was impossible to watch. Like, you, it's some kind of thing. In the meantime, you will, you know, what do they say? What's the saying? Life is what happens.
Life is a box of chocolate.
While you're waiting.
While you what?
Life is happening.
While you're making other plans.
Life is the thing that interrupts you while you're making other plans. What is it?
Life is what happens while you're making other plans.
Yes. Like, yeah. Go ahead, chart your course by that star, but accept the fact that that's not what you're going to be famous for. It's not. You don't control it. We can't all be Jeff Davis. We can't just go to bed and dream of Chechnya.
By the way, that's the name of your one man show. Dreams of Chechnya.
Well, like for instance, you know, we planned, we brought Spencer out here early for some reason, and we're
not using him at all.
We're not going to play D&D tonight. But yet, we kind of fell down our own little dungeon.
I feel like we didn't really need to go to a magical place because we already were. What could be more awesome and weirder? And I mean that in a great way. Than listening to you. Having dreams about shit that hasn't happened.
No,
yet.
That doesn't happen to anybody else. No one else has had that before.
Don't
that
be surprised.
To my mom. You right there? What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron, you've had that happen to you before?
Yeah.
You want to come up? Briefly, what was it?
I was just real small, and I was young, and I had a really sexy dream.
A sexy dream?
Yeah.
You were little, and you had a sexy dream, and it came true. That's not good. That's.
I had a dream about my first boyfriend, which was years later, so...
What did your first boyfriend say when you explained that to him?
I never told him.
Wait, you had a dream that you were going to have a boyfriend at one point, and then years later you had a boyfriend? No, I'm not. I'm just want to be clear what the power is.
You knew it was going to be the specific guy. You knew it would be this.
I didn't have a face or anything, but when I met him, I just knew it.
Oh, well, that's just.
Are you guys still together?
No.
Why did you break up?
She told him that story.
I used to live in Illinois, and then I moved to Ohio. So instead of having a long-distance relationship, we just decided to break it.
All right, so kind of different.
I would say very different.
Sometimes love reaches across time, space, and reality, but, you know, Illinois to Ohio, geez. How are you going to make that work?
This guy's dreaming of Mexican helicopters.
I'm so surprised you didn't tell him, even when you were breaking up. If it was me, I would scream it at him as I was grabbing me. You never thought?
Well, clearly she got sick of him. She was like, I can't tell him about the dream now. I hate the way he slurps his cereal.
I don't want him to think that this is cosmic.
We're actually still in touch, but we don't talk as much as we used to.
So. That's good. Move on.
Spencer, it looks like we're not going to get to play any D&D tonight, man.
Can I tell you guys I had a dream last night?
Whoa!
Yeah. About that we wouldn't be able to play?
It was about, Jeff, and he was talking. And so I didn't prepare any D&D content. And it ended up working out.
Whoa!
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Full circle!
Full circle!
Thank you very much, everybody. Welcome, and thank you. Kumail Nanjiani, everybody.
Thank you.
Aaron McGathy. The sneakily psychic Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for Dan Harmon, everybody.
And please, if you are a mid to upper levels TV writer and you have not yet been hired by Parks and Rec, please see me after the show. I may hire you. Please.
Wow. That's a good offer. Good night, everybody. We love you so much. Thank you for coming.